I'm Mark Jobe with Mission Street. This is FieldPod.com. The Week in Georgia in English, coming to you from San Francisco's social enterprise mecca, the Impact Hub at 5th and Mission in the Old Chronicle Building. Today is Thursday, the 12th of December, 2013. On this date in 1901, Marconi sends the first Atlantic wireless transmission. 1911, Delhi replaces Calcutta as the capital of India. 1925, the Majlis of Iran votes Reza Khan as the new Shah of Persia. 1963, Kenya gains its independence from the United Kingdom. 1991, the Russian Federation gains independence from the USSR. 2000, the United States Supreme Court releases its decision, thereby appointing George Bush in Bush versus Gore as President of the United States. And on that same day, under the fold, GM announces the phase-out of Oldsmobile. Birthdays today are Edvard Munch of The Scream fame, Gustav Flaubert, Frank Sinatra, and Ed Koch. Today is fittingly Neutrality Day in Turkmenistan and Constitution Day in Russia. It's just me, Mark Mullen. Thanks again for those posting to our forum. Comments from Simon about how the reason the Patriarch has come out so strongly against local government is that it's worried about separatism. Yeah, kind of. There are several aspects to this. First of all, I think that the number one reason Georgia needs local government is that it needs a way for opposition politicians to show their talents as local advocates and managers before entering the national stage. Now, that is impossible. Local positions are appointed, as they were under Misha, to those who are loyal to the crown. If they are elected and have funds to do things, they can do useful things before going on to parliament, other than being an actor or a soccer player or howling to the national press. The second reason is that the church shouldn't be involved in things like this. It's bad for the church and it's bad for state policy, particularly in Georgia, where religion is often understood to be worship of the church itself. They have unusual power, but no responsibility for their policy prescriptions. Corrections from Will about the House of Lords thing, which was evidently a PR stunt set up in 2012, the less said about it the better, and something from the person who doesn't like Shevardnadze with a link about the hijacking 30 years ago and the young people who were executed for it. If you'd like to comment on our blog or ask a question, go to tfieldpod.com or send us an email at tfieldpod@gmail.com. Following up on last week's story about the proposed local government reforms. As a reminder, the Regional Development Ministry put forward a draft law that would decentralize power and increase the number of directly elected local bodies. Last week, the Patriarch came out against the draft because he claims it will lead to the disintegration of Georgia. The former head of the National Security Council, Giga Bokeria, criticized the Patriarch's statement and said that the state and church should remain separate. Currently, five cities in Georgia are considered self-governed. However, only Tbilisi's mayor is directly elected. The proposed legislation would make it so all cities with populations over 15,000 would be termed self-governed and have direct elections of mayors as well as city councils. Even in non-qualifying localities, Gamgeblevi, the municipal heads, would be directly elected by voters along with local councils. On the provincial level, the governor would be balanced by a regional council comprised of representatives of municipalities. After the Patriarch's remarks, the Georgian Dream initially justified the draft by saying that it was prepared based on EU recommendations. Great, the EU versus the Georgian Orthodox Church. Guess who will win that one? NGOs, meanwhile, called on the government and parliament not to stop the reform process. However, after criticism, Chairman of Parliament Dato Usupashvili announced that the government is changing the draft of the disputed regional councils. There will be no independent regional councils made up of locally elected members from Sacrebulos. Instead, the central government will delegate authority to these councils. They will be called regional administrations and regional consultative councils. This will be quite important. I mean, how much power they end up getting, because at the regional level, that's always been where the power is. And if they're appointed, even if they're called consultative councils, they could end up having substantial formal power. One thing to watch in all of this is everybody talks about who the people are that are in power, but just as important to that is how the money moves. Is it formulaic, or is there a way to penalize people for what they're doing or not doing that have been elected? Following up on last week's story about the protests in Ukraine, on the 7th of December, Misha arrived in Kiev to show his support. He addressed the crowd in Ukrainian because, as many of you know, he went to University in Kiev, along with, by the way, the head of Transparency International Russia, Elena Panfilova. He says, I quote, "I feel Ukrainian, I am Ukrainian, I am Ukrainian and Georgian, therefore I am European," echoing Zudashvanya's famous words after Georgia was admitted to the Council of Europe, I think in 97, maybe 98, where he said, "I am Georgian, therefore I am European." Later, Ukrainian journalists interviewed Misha, and he criticized Putin's statement that the EU is interfering in the country's internal affairs. He also had dinner with the opposition leader, Vitali Klitschko. For those who haven't been watching Russia's portrayal on all media, including state media, of what's going on in Kiev, is just really over the top. I mean, unbelievably appalling. And not just in emphasis, but wildly inaccurate. A lot of lying about what's happening there, which is too bad. That's what's seen by about half of Ukraine. On the 9th of December, Ukrainian MP, a member of the regional the region's parties, Oleg Tsaryov, sent a request to the security services and country's foreign ministry to ban foreigners from entering Ukraine who, according to him, are trying to influence the unfolding events. As Tsaryov stated, several politicians from Russia, the U.S., and U.K., as well as Levan Barshalomidze, Givi Targamadze, and Misha, are on the blacklist. On the 6th of December, former Prime Minister Vano Matavashvili waved a Ukrainian flag during his trial in court. He then left the room to protest the trial scene. According to him, none of the witnesses are talking about his guilt. On the 8th of December, people gathered outside the former parliament building in Tbilisi in favor of the mass mobilization in Kiev. Georgians, as well as Ukrainians, brought EU and Ukrainian flags and wore yellow and blue. On the 11th of December, the Sakharbula building was lit up with yellow and blue in support of the protesters. NGOs organized a march from Philharmonia to Freedom Square. On the 7th of December, Dato Chkartashvili, chairman of the deputy of the former chief prosecutor, Murtaza Delava, was detained and placed in pretrial detention. He was charged with organizing the staged prison torture videos from September 2012. According to the investigation, former Justice Minister Zuradashvili and Shkhadatashvili found out about the video footage in prison number 8 in Goldani, which showed guards physically abusing prisoners. The minister then instructed Shkhadatashvili and other government officials to stage a video of beating up and humiliating selected prisoners. Allegedly, the goal was to publish the fake video in order to give the impression that governmental bodies were revealing these brutal incidents and had solved the issue. The prosecutor's office charged prisoners and prison administration employees with causing the death of Levan Kortava. Allegedly, three prisoner thieves-in-law beat him up in Geguti prison, so that Kortava was transferred to the prison hospital where he died in May 2013. The prison inspectors from the safety department are accused of negligence and falsifying evidence. On International Anti-Corruption Day, a number of NGOs, including the hardest working NGO in the Caucasus, Transparency International Georgia, GILA, which is Georgian Young Lawyers Association, ISFED, and the International Society for Fair Elections and Democracy, and the Open Society Foundation, released a joint statement addressed to the government. While praising many of the anti-corruption reforms implemented since 2003, the government says much work needs to be done, including strengthening the Interagency Coordinating Council, which combats corruption, monitoring the implementation of anti-corruption strategy, reforming competition legislation, strengthening the State Audit Office, and increasing the transparency of privatization. Following up on last week's story, the new ambassadorial appointments, Mark Balashvili signed the documents officially appointing them to their post. From the 1st of February 2014, the ambassador to Bulgaria, Zurab Beridze Kotejgenti, will represent Georgia in Uzbekistan. Lado Chanturia, former head of the Supreme Court under Shevardnadze, who's been at Tubingen, I think, since then, and is largely responsible for writing almost all Georgian organic law before the Rose Revolution. He will be in Germany, Levan Tsintsadze in Japan, Dato Aptsiauri in China, Soso Chkartashvili in Iran, Soso Chakhvashvili in Iran, Grigol Tabatadze will be ambassador to Jordan. These countries have not had an ambassador for about 1 year. Georgian Dream Member of Parliament, former Ambassador to the U.S., Canada, and Mexico, Teto Giapadidze, was proposed as Ambassador to the U.K., but turned it down. President Barack Obama of the United States of America sent a letter to the former Prime Minister, Bidzina Ivanishvili, and said that he was pleased to cooperate with him during his term in office. Obama emphasized BI's role in the country's democratic development and intensification of U.S.-Georgian relations. Obama also expressed his gratitude for Georgia's assistance in Afghanistan. The text is in the forum. On the 6th of December, Margvelashvili expressed his condolences to South African President Jacob Zuma over Nelson Mandela's death. The letter of condolence says, quote, "I received news about Nelson Mandela's death with deep sorrow. Africa has lost its greatest son. We are comforted by the fact that humanity gained invaluable experience by Nelson Mandela's life. He once again showed us that one man is capable of bringing freedom and restoring the dignity of millions of people through self-sacrificing efforts. Your Excellency, I express my condolence during this difficult period, and I ask you to convey my and Georgia's people's sincere condolence to Mandela's family and the people of South Africa." I wrote a story about something that happened to me related to Mandela back in the 94 elections that we will post on our forum. State Chancery announced that local elections will be held in June 2014. Not sure of the exact date. According to the Regional Development Minister, Dato Narmania, the government will set up tents for homeless people in Kutaisi, Tbilisi, Batumi, and Rustavi, where heat and food will be provided. Approximately 20 homeless people will live in each tent. On the 7th of December 2013, the president of the Constitutional Court of Georgia, Georgi Papuashvili, was elected as a member of the governing body of the Venice Commission of the Council of Europe. It is the first time a Georgian has been represented in the Bureau. The local government in Tel Aviv announced a 1,100 lari tender for the dismantling of a Stalin statue. The winning company must dismantle it by the 31st of December. As a reminder, the local group Stalinelli put up the statue in Tel Aviv in September. The local government ordered the statue dismantled and gave the group 5 days to comply, but they did not. Following up on last week's story about protests against the Hanukkah celebrations in Tbilisi, on the 5th of December, the court imposed a 100 lari fine on two protesters, Guram Palavandishvili and Dato Lurki Baninze, for damaging posters and banners. On the 8th of December, the Patriarchate released a statement in which the church condemned what happened at the Hanukkah celebration. "This is clearly selective justice, in my view. These 100 lari fines for crazed priests and nationalists who pretend they're speaking on behalf of Georgian traditions or the church, compared with how UNM officials are immediately arrested and put in pretrial detention for as long as possible, hopping around charges until they can find something that sticks, seems unfair to me. I may or may not agree with each UNM arrest, but I understand their logic. However, I disagree with these crazies not being punished. Kutaisi City Hall will spend 7,000 lari on candies for children on New Year's Eve. On the 18th of December, the City Hall will announce a 2-day tender. The winner has to provide 1,000 candies in special packages labeled Kutaisi Local Self-Government Wishes You a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year 2014. Georgian Railway has a new agreement to transport oil from Kazakhstan and expand into Black Sea ferry and cargo transportation. Following up on previous discussions of the Tbilisi Bypass Project, Georgian Railways is considering putting the project on hold, which will free up cash and increase short-term profitability. 9-month financial reports were a bit disappointing because of higher salary costs, due to strikes, by the way, although they don't mention that. However, the company expects a rebound in sales in the fourth quarter. Georgia took 50th place in Forbes magazine's Best Countries for Business rating out of 145 countries. Russia took 91st position, Azerbaijan 67th, Armenia 64th. The report says Georgia's economy sustained GDP growth of more than 10% in 2006 and 7 based on strong inflows of foreign investment and robust government spending. However, GDP growth slowed following the August 2008 conflict with Russia and sunk to a negative 4% in 2009 as foreign direct investment and workers' remittances declined in the wake of the global financial crisis. And there was also a war. The economy rebounded in 2010 and 12 with growth rates above 6% per year, but FDI inflows, the engine of Georgian economic growth prior to the 2008 conflict, have not recovered fully. Employment has also remained high at above 15%. way above 15%. According to preliminary data from Geostat, investments in the third quarter of 2013 were 20% higher than in the same period in 2012. Investments in the third quarter totaled $239 million, up 3% from the second quarter. International entities are on the top of the list where foreign investments came in from the third quarter of 2013. They accounted for $49 million in investments. Second was the U.S. with 35, Netherlands 32, Turkey 31, and U.K. 29. Broken down by sector, finance, transport, and communication were at the top, and energy and construction, and last of all, manufacturing. Summer of 2012, the Culture Ministry published a book, New Georgian Architecture After the Rose Revolution. All architectural projects carried out in the country since the Rose Revolution are in the book. Nikusha Rudua, who was culture minister then, said that these buildings have not only visual meaning, but they serve society. The book was given away for free. Anybody who feels that they serve society ought to try and walk across the bridge getting into the House of Justice on the Sanapito in Tbilisi. On the 9th of December, heavy snowfall in western Georgia cut off effective electricity to 161,000 people. Samegrelo, Rachelesh, Lechfumi, as well as parts of Ajada were affected. Snow caused slippery roads and slow traffic at the Rikoti Pass. Two women died in the village of Salbauri in Ajada region after the roof of a greenhouse collapsed because of strong wind and heavy snowfall. About 10 others were injured. On the 10th of December, news.ge published a video about Tbilisi's new dump near the village Norio. Tbilisi City Hall apparently spent 12 million lari on this waste location. The area nearby the dump is covered in trash and plastic bags. The video shows a road littered with plastic bags. According to Tbilisi City Hall, no environmental threat exists for the local population. However, people in nearby villages complain because of the bags and the smell. On the 8th of December, environmental activists held a rally in front of Parliament building. They demanded the construction of the Kodori Hydro Power Plant in Svaneti stop. Georgia will be spending approximately 5 million lari this year to provide members of Parliament with personal housing in Kutaisi. On the 5th of December, French actor Vincent Cassel arrived in Tbilisi to shoot Partisan, a film by the Australian director Ariel Kleiman. Cassel plays the main character Grigory, who is attempting to get women and children to join a commune. The actor spent 2 days in Georgia. Beginning the 4th of February, every Tuesday and Thursday until May, Georgian Airways will offer direct flights between Tbilisi and Sochi. One-way ticket costs 159 euros. Duration of the flight's about an hour. In parliamentary news, Parliament approved the state budget for 2014. Revenues expected to be 7.3 billion lari and expenditures are set at 7.2 billion lari. As we discussed previously, new changes to the rules regarding visas are expected to pass. The Interior Ministry introduced the draft. The government will define the list of the countries from which citizens can enter visa-free. The visa-free period of stay in Georgia will be 180 days. There will be 5 visa categories, and immigration visa will be added to the list, and service visas will be replaced by a special visa. Long and short-term visas will be defined as well. Foreign citizens who are in Georgia without legal grounds will be placed in temporary detention areas. The meme this week is a brawl in Parliament. UNM MP Gia Baramidze was discussing condemning the crackdown on protesters in Kiev. Georgian Dream MP Soso Jachvliani, an actor and majoritarian from Goldani, called Baramidze a hypocrite because of what Misha's government did in 2007 and 2011, I guess, those demonstrations. And specifically what Baramidze himself did in a raid in Svaneti when he was defense minister. Then everybody got involved to pull Soso apart. Soso took a job at him and sort of threw a weird kind of karate kick. Everybody was checking out the video. It's all over the international press. Makes Georgia look like a complete collection of clowns. Baramidze is pretty hot-headed, but it was Soso Jachvliani who started it. It'll be interesting to see if he is sanctioned. Natalia Andalava's response to Tom DeWall's recent article, So Long, Saakashvili. The author criticizes DeWall, saying Misha was largely about PR. That's what Duvall says. Aunt Lava says that's not true. She takes issues with Duvall's characterization that the Russia-Georgia war in 2008 was Misha's fault. She quotes a certain 12-year-old son of a friend in 2012 asking what corruption is. A great article by Michael Cicieri on the local government reform, which the Patriarch recently came out against. The author discusses how this reform, which would increase the number of directly elected positions, will decentralize power and potentially increase regional economic development. Very much worth reading, because there's not a lot of analysis on this, and this is the best I've seen so far. Vice.com publishes an article, Jihad Selfies, These British Extremists in Syria Love Social Media. The article discusses how social media and jihadists, especially those from the UK, show off and brag about their activities in Syria. One of the pictures shows Omar Shishani, a Georgian Kist, along with a British fighter, Ibrahim al-Mazwagi, who was killed during the civil war in February. Shishani is now the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant's military commander in northern Syria. Yeah, Georgia's report, Simplified Procurement, Corruption Risks and Non-Competitive Government Contracts, in which TI analyzes more than 430,000 non-competitive government contracts awarded between December 2010 and September 2013. Last year, these contracts accounted for 18% of all government spending, equal to 4.7% of GDP. TI Georgia found that companies fully or partly owned by several current and past MPs benefited from non-competitive awarded government contracts. This is a great report. I really, really highly recommend everyone checking it out. It's on the website. It is the clearest illustration yet in the corruption and collusion under Misha and shows very clearly how government money was illegally kept within the party and those not in the party were specifically shut out of government business. Not just opposition, but those who were not on the inside. An article by Nikolaos Khakadze and Florian Biermann on economic and political clusterings. If you ever wonder why you could buy a hammock and similar handcrafted stuff in various places close to Khashoggi, but nowhere else, or Tony's Puri in Nazuki only around Surami, baskets and wooden vessels and clay products around Shrosha, you should definitely read the article. The article has to do with the benefits of clustering income, which can explain not only economic decisions, but political decisions and coalitions as well. A really good one. I'd recommend it for the anthropologist and all of it. Architect Magazine devotes its cover story this month to architect J. Meyer H. Architects and the motivation behind those gory rest stops, the Mestia Airport, and the Lazica nuttiness, as well as others. For those of you who don't know, their work is crap. But the article is very much worth a read since it sort of shows all of these things from the point of view of the architect and how they ended up building such garbage. All of these things to read will be posted in the forum. This week's GeoCapital number is 626 lari, which is the average expenditure of foreign travelers in Georgia per visit. Russians are the biggest spenders. On average, they spend a whopping 1,180 lari. Turkish tourists spend 533 lari, and Azeris 467 lari. Armenians, who are the majority in terms of total number of tourists, spend the smallest average amount of money at 301 lari. According to data provided by the Georgian National Tourism Administration in the first 10 months of 2013, tourists spend 2.8 billion lari in the country. On the 13th of December, the old cinema Apollo on Agmashenabeli number 135 will be hosted Dina Oganova's photo exhibition, My Place. The exhibition presents photos and personal stories of people who were born in the USSR and grew up in independent Georgia. For more information, visit dikarka.ge. That's D-I-K-A-R-K-A. Great photographer. Go see the show. By the way, this is a beautiful theater and used to have beautiful plaster work with its name in Russian from the turn of the century that was unfortunately removed in 2011. Anybody know who owns that building, by the way? Let us know if you do. On the 21st of December, the annual award ceremony for Innovative Pop Culture Electronaut 2013 will be held. The winners in different categories will be chosen not by online voters, but by an international jury. More information, facebook.com/electronauts, ELECTRONAUTS. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is @TXTBUK. Email is fieldpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website, www.fieldpod.com. I had wanted to put this in for Thanksgiving, but forgot. So we'll finish with the classic of cultural sensitivity and insight, Running Bear by Johnny Preston from 1959.
On the bank of the river stood Running Bear, young Indian brave. On the other side of the river stood his lovely Indian maid. Little White Dove was of her name, such a lovely sight to see. But their tribes fought with each other, so their love could never be. Running Bear, love little White Dove, with a love big as the sky. Running Bear, love little White Dove, with a love that couldn't die. He couldn't swim the raging river, 'cause the river was too wide. He couldn't reach little White Dove waiting on the other side. In the moonlight he could see her throwing kisses across the waves. Her little heart was beating faster, waiting there for her brave. Running Bear, love little White Dove, with a love big as the sky. Running Bear, love little White Dove, with a love that couldn't die. Running Bear dove in the water, little White Dove did the same. And they swam out to each other, through the swirling stream they came. As their hand touched and their lips met, the raging river pulled them down. Now they'll always be together in that happy hunting ground. Running Bear, love little White Dove, with a love big as the sky. Running Bear, love little White Dove, with a love that couldn't die.